All right, everybody, thank you so much for coming out for Launch Your Voice. We're going to look at how to discover, develop, and deploy your voice. I think voice is essential. It's the way that we recognize each other. It is the way that we connect with each other. You know, even just before this began, as Brett said that he was going to go in and run and grab some tea real quick, and BJ said, I always need coffee. That's part of our voice, actually. Believe it or not, the things that make us who we are, what we do, why we do them, that's all part of our voice. We overcomplicate it. We make it difficult. We try to become perfect and to come across as if we are as professional as possible instead of simply being authentic, being ourselves, and really just being who we are. And that's the real key to launching our voice and being successful with it. So I want you to take out some paper and a pen. And yes, I want it to be physical, not simply typing on your computer, because a couple of rules. You guys have been with me before, know that I tend not to repeat things. So somebody will say, hey, I missed point number three. Honestly, you missed point number three because you weren't listening. So you got to pay attention to make sure that you get all of the points. I probably will not go back and repeat things. So when you write things down, there's a huge mind and body connection. You remember more and you apply so much more. If you want to follow me online, Paul B. Evans Live is my Facebook and Twitter is simply Paul Evans. So feel free to follow me either of those places. I tend to be at Paul B. Evans Live more than any other place. So if you want to connect, that would be a great place to do that. All right. So voice, it's how you stand out and set yourself apart. It's the way that we connect with other people. It's the way that we communicate. It's the way that we recognize other people and how they recognize us. So our voice is critical, whether it's in business, whether it's our blog, whether we're an author, a speaker, a consultant, a coach, our voice is what sets us apart from the crowd. It's what people come to know, to recognize, and to trust. And when we learn to utilize our voice in a powerful way, it's going to allow us to have that credibility that we want, that authority that we want. All of those things are going to help us maintain dominance or at least connectiveness in our marketplace. And it doesn't matter if we are the central location for everybody on the planet for our market. All that really matters is that those that we connect with connect back with us. We recognize each other's voices and it allows us to grow and build together. It makes it so much easier. This is my mom. She is 70 years old. And so you got mom here and she's got her thumb up there. That was at a football game just a few months ago. I recognize her voice. It's obvious. When she used to yell out of the house at when I was like 5 years old and she would say, Paul, it's time for dinner. I recognized her voice. I ran toward her voice. Now, some other mom called out. Guess what? I didn't run to that house. I didn't just barge in thinking it was time for supper because that wasn't my mom. It wasn't my mom's voice. And as simple as that is and as shallow as that can seem, that's really the way that we're made up is to actually recognize voices and move toward them, to trust them, connect with them. So our voice is made up of our personality, vocabulary, accent, even though I don't have one, positioning, and even cadence. And we'll roll through those in just a second. But if you would, in the little Q&A area there, type in your name and where you are from. I see that Jim's already done this. This is Jim from San Diego is here. Type in your name and type in where you are from. So when we're looking at our voice, even our location can be part of that voice. You've got Jim from San Diego. You've got Kim from Texas. So I'm going to assume that she's Southern unless she was a transplant. You've got Brett from Philadelphia. BJ is Brenda from Tampa. Marie from Quebec. Anita from Huntsville. Gary, Atlanta, Georgia. Nancy, Southeast Missouri. Rhonda in Canada. Ray, Los Angeles. Leslie from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, not far from me at all. D from New York City. So we've got a lot. Got Birmingham, Florida, Metro DC. We've got New Mexico, San Francisco, Washington State, all over. And even that is part of our voice. When I leave town, when I leave Alabama, and especially you guys who are from California, when I go to California and enter, let's say, a fast food restaurant, this has happened multiple times. If I'm at McDonald's and I order something, they will literally bring the staff up to the counter and just ask me to talk. And to me, it's normal. To them, it's abnormal. It's like, wow, we've got one of the shoeless uneducated right here with us in the great state of California. But my accent is part of it, right? My personality, before we came on, I mentioned being at level 7 today. And Gary said that, well, you're level 7s, everybody else is 11. I am definitely an ADD or ADHD. I'm definitely hyperactive. It's part of my personality. So it's also part of my voice. My vocabulary is not very professional. I say ain't and don't think a thing about it. Mentioned accent already. Positioning. And we'll look at this in more depth here in just a minute. But the way that we position ourselves in our market is important because that matches that voice and that style. And then cadence. That's our rhythm. Some of us are more fast-paced. Some of us are more slow-paced. Some of us are hit them hard and let's move on. Some of us are more thinking based. And so we like to dive in and we're more detailed. That's all part of our cadence and our rhythm that make up our voice. It's the way that we recognize each other. And it becomes a great way to connect with people so that they know that it's us who is communicating and no one else. And so we want to build that connection. We want to build that relationship with our crowd through that. But we can get laryngitis. I'm going to do a poll here in the minute. Just past these next few slides. But we can get laryngitis by, number one, hating the sound of my voice. Now, I don't just mean when we speak, but as a speaker, I know people all the time who listen to themselves and say, I don't sound like that. Or they'll say, I hate the sound of my voice. Up at the top of your screen there, you should be able to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've ever said, you've listened back to yourself and you said, I hate the sound of my voice. Just raise your hand on that. All right. Lots of hands going up right now. Yeah, a lot of us feel that way. You know, that I cannot stand the sound of my voice. And so we're like, wow, yeah, I don't like it. So in the marketplace, the same thing is true, that we may have a certain writing style or a certain communication style, but we don't really trust it. We don't really like the sound of it. And so we get laryngitis and we refuse to speak. I only know how to be a cover band. I remember back in my late teens, I thought I was going to write a book. And I read several authors that I admired. And guess what I did? I tried to clone them. I tried to write like them. I didn't have my own voice. I simply wanted to be a cover band. I wanted to sound like them. And even as I sent out book proposals, I would say, if your readers like, and I would mention those great authors, and then I thought they would be impressed. But nope. You know, I found out that that just wasn't going to work. So, you know, sometimes it's only that cover band voice that we go after. Hazel said, only my singing voice. Brett said, inside sounds differently from outside. Yeah, when we're hearing internally, it sounds totally different. And Don said, I have a voice for silent movies. Number three, what if somebody doesn't like me? What if somebody doesn't like my voice? What if they argue with what I'm saying? And when we position ourselves strong, there are going to be people who argue with you. I get emails fairly regularly of somebody who questions my positioning, questions what I said. They don't agree with me, but that's all right. That's part of having a voice. If we blend in with the crowd, we're not going to stand apart. And the truth is, there's only a handful of people that aren't going to like our stance, aren't going to like our style. And then there's going to be the broad mass of people that you connect with, communicate with, that are going to like your style. So number three is another reason we get silent, because we're a little bit nervous about people not liking us. Number four, I can't share till I know my true voice. Sometimes we hold back because we can't find the it yet, or we can't find the purpose yet. But the truth is, there is no it, and there is no real defining one-time only purpose, because all of that continues to stretch and grow over time. Over time, our voice changes. Over time, our voice matures. Over time, our voice is honed into something unique and different. But if we're not using it, that's not going to happen. We've got to make sure that we're sharing our voice, that we're trusting our voice, and that we are going to let it out there, let it rip, so that we won't stay silent. Staying silent doesn't help anybody. We want to make sure that we're actually reaching out to our market. Now, before we cover discover, develop, and deploy, I want to do a quick poll. Hopefully this will work. All right, so what holds me back the most with my voice? Just select one of those. I don't feel like I have anything to say. I don't feel that my voice is as good as somebody else's, an author, something like that. I don't feel that I have the authority or right to speak. I'm afraid of rejection or ridicule. I would, but technology holds me back. I don't know how to podcast. I don't know how to do a webinar. All right, so I don't feel I have anything to say. I don't feel my voice is as good as, and there's a famous person maybe that you are comparing yourself with. I don't feel I have the authority or right to share my voice because I'm just not in a famous place yet, something along those lines. I'm afraid of rejection or ridicule. I would, but technology holds me back. All right, I'm going to give you just about 10 more seconds. Go ahead and vote. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, I'm closing the poll and I will share the results. And you should be able to see these poll results. 13% says, I don't feel like I have anything to say. 13, I don't feel my voice is as good as. I don't feel I have the authority or right. I'm afraid of rejection or ridicule. I would, but technology holds me back. Now look at the differences here, guys. Usually with our voice and whatever's holding us back, we think that everybody else kind of feels that way. Like everybody would be judging me on authority. But the truth is, others are saying, I don't feel like I have anything to say. It's not new. It's not fresh. It's not original. 22% said I'm afraid of rejection and ridicule. 35%, the highest percentage, is that technology is the only thing holding you back. The great thing about that is that technology is a skill set that is so easily learned. You can absolutely conquer that quick. So let me hide those results. And let's see, if you're able to see my screen again, just type yes in the question box. I just want to make sure that it's back up. Awesome. Thank you so much, Kim and Nancy. All right, so let's look at discover, develop, and deploy. These are our actual steps. Make sure you're taking notes on this. So as we discover our voice, if you're looking for this or if you're wanting to hone it, who is your audience? That's really the first question, because there is no one voice. I know, I wish there was, but if you've got multiple audiences, chances are that you'll have multiple voices. Now that might seem like you're being inauthentic, but that's not true. Think about your voice with your children, if you have any. Think about your voice with your boss, if you have a boss. Think about your voice with your friends when you're hanging out at a restaurant. Think about your voice at church, if you happen to go to church. Are any of those fake voices? No, they're just different voices, because the circumstances and the situation causes you to use a different voice. So there's nothing wrong with that. So when you ask who is your audience, when you know that, then you need to decide and train yourself in a particular voice for that particular audience. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be some overflow, that if you happen to be crazy in one audience, you'll probably be crazy in another audience. If you're hyper with one audience, you'll be hyper with another audience. If you're shy with one audience, you'll probably be shy with another audience. That's all right. But the way that you communicate to them, the way that they come to hear you is going to be very different. If I'm talking to my group of public speakers, I'm going to be doing a lot more of training style communication, helping them communicate at a higher level and have more impact. So that voice is a little bit more training based. Whereas those who are on my achieve list, those who want to become better individuals and reach their goals, well, it's a little bit more of a motivational, more of an encouragement voice. So when I think about who my audience is, I think I love to help. I love to help and I fill in that blank. You know, maybe it is that I love to help public speakers. So that's one audience. I love to help people who want to achieve their goals and their dreams. I love to help people get their online business started. So each audience can give me a slightly different voice. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So that's your first question. Second, what is your role with this audience? Number one, are you a coach? Are you a trainer? Are you a product creator that people are coming to you so that they can learn how to become better at X, Y, and Z? So are you a coach? Are you a cheerleader? Are you an encourager? They may already know how to do a lot of things, but they don't have anybody coming alongside them and encouraging them and building them up and letting them know that they can do that. I've got a best friend that is such an encourager. And on those days when I feel like, whew, I just don't want to do anything, I'm not motivated, you know, she can easily say, listen, you've got this. Move ahead. Here's what you need to do. What are the top three things you're going to do in the next hour? Boom. All right. That's a cheerleader. And that can be a totally different voice than a coach. Have you noticed that the coach's voice on the field is different than the cheerleader's voice? All right. They are not the same. And it depends on the role that they're playing. Maybe you're a conversationalist. You're just sharing your ideas and your insights. And then you're fostering discussion. And so it's very Denny's-like. If you were in Denny's and you're having lunch with a friend or breakfast with a friend, it'd be very casual. It'd be very simple. It would be very easy and comfortable. And so that may be your voice as well. Contrarian. Maybe you go against the grain. Maybe you have thoughts that really other people are thinking too, but nobody actually says them. And so you're the person who decides, hey, I'm actually going to say this. Yeah, it might stir up some hornets. It might aggravate some people, but you know what? This needs to be said. Now, the contrarian position is the one we've got to be a little bit cautious with because we can come across all the time like we're just ranting and that we're right and everybody else is wrong. Even with a contrarian, there's still room for discussion. There's room for opinion, but you're saying what general society is thinking, or at least what your people are thinking, but they're just not bold enough yet to say it out loud. So that may be your role. And then your role may be that you're the class clown. Maybe you're a cut up. Maybe you just love having fun. Maybe you like being happy. And that's a big part of the role, that you bring a lot of joy to the lives of others. Now, obviously, you don't have to be roped into simply one role. Within your market, you could easily be the coach one day, cheerleader one day, conversationalist, contrarian, class clown. You can be all of those things as long as you're being them consistently. If you're always the coach and that's your natural style, and then out of the blue, you become the class clown, they're going to think something's up, something's wrong, and your authenticity will be hurt just a little bit. But if you are all of these things, if that's just your makeup and your personality, and it just depends on the day, and they get to see the broad spectrum of your life, that's going to be fine too. Most likely will fall into one of these areas heavier, say 50% of the time we may be the coach. And then it may be, you know, I guess less than thirds, obviously, with the remaining amount of cheerleader and let's say class clown. But all of that can be put together so that you've got that unique voice in your marketplace. All right, so hopefully you've got those written out. And then what are your causes? What are you standing for? In my public speaking realm, I talk about avoid becoming a human tranquilizer. I also say speak with passion or just leave me a note. In the achievement arena, I say success is not an accident. So these are my causes. Now, is anybody going to die if I don't fulfill this role? No, a cause does not mean that we're having to take this major platform. And if we don't get up there and stand for it, nobody else will. It simply means that we're drawn to a position. I'm drawn to not becoming a human tranquilizer. I'm drawn toward that. And I'm drawn to helping other people not do that. Here's why. And I think if you've got a why behind your cause, it'll be pretty powerful. A few weeks ago, I did a keynote. There were only about 300 people in the room, and I had an hour to do my keynote. So if I don't do a good job, if I'm a human tranquilizer, I did not waste an hour. I wasted 300 hours, right? Because there are 300 people in there that could have been doing something else. So yeah, I've got a cause to help other people avoid becoming a human tranquilizer, because if we waste somebody's hour, you multiply that by the number of people. So that to me, that's a good calling. Now, success is not an accident. We know that we live, at least here in America, we live in an entitlement mentality, a victim mentality. People believe that they're owed something for nothing. I see this on the internet a lot of times. Hey, teach me for free how to get rich. See, that's never made any sense to me. Success is not an accident. It's not just going to happen. So that's a cause for me. So you need to write down your causes, things that you want to stand behind, things that you stand for, things that you're willing to fight for. So if someone disagreed with you, you wouldn't back down because you know that that position is right. So somebody might come to me and say, Paul, well, you know, everybody can't not be a human tranquilizer. And I'll be like, that's not true. And they're like, there are some people who are just boring. I'll say, well, granted, there are some people who are monotone and they don't have a lot of range, but everybody on the planet can have incredible content that they share with their audience. And even if they're not the best presenter on the planet, they absolutely can share great content. And that to me is avoiding becoming a human tranquilizer, because at least you're sharing something valuable enough for people to write down. So what are your causes? So your questions were, who's your audience? That was question number one. Question number two was, go back one, what is your role? Question number three, what are your causes? So important questions to answer. So audience, role, and cause. Make a list of 10 essentials. This is an assignment for later. Make a list of 10 essentials for your audience, your role, and your cause. What are 10 essentials for your audience to know that you believe that you must share? That if you don't share this, you do not believe that you're living up to your level of responsibility. So you'll do that off the clock, but that's your assignment. Make sure you've written that down. Make a list of 10 essential elements that you need to share with your audience related to your role, related to your cause. Next is to develop your voice. Arnold Schwarzenegger, whether you like him or not, Arnold, I grew up when in Arnold's heyday. The worst thing I could be is the same as everybody else. I'd hate that. When we develop our voice, that's when we separate ourselves from everybody else. That's when we become different. That's when we begin to take shape. And it will be different. Like Arnold's built a certain way. Other competitive bodybuilders are built a certain way. If you go to the gym, you're going to notice that you're built different than other people. And then when you do exercises, your body is going to respond differently than other people's bodies. When you eat certain foods, your body reacts a certain way. It does not react the same for everybody. So as we develop our voice, that's when we become better. The first thing that we need to do is to avoid perfection. So perfect, shun. Stay away from being perfect. The key reason is that nobody is and nobody can be. There's always going to be mistakes and there's always going to be critics. I've been pretty open about having a very limited knowledge of grammar. And so commas, semicolons, all of those seem very optional to me. Sentence fragments, I love. Absolutely love sentence fragments. And I wouldn't even know that until somebody was editing one of my reports and they said, you love sentence fragments. I do. And the editor said, well, you know that this is wrong. I said, well, if it's right, I lose my voice. If it's right, if you structure it correctly, it loses all the emotion. So we've got to keep it like that, even if it doesn't fit the rules. Now, do I get people writing me saying, hey, Paul, y'all want you to know in that latest article, you made a bunch of boo-boos. I'm like, hey, why don't you point those out to me? And they do. And I get free editing. So it's pretty awesome. So don't worry about perfection. Don't think I can't release this until it's perfect. It never is. You can go back to anybody who's a big time speaker now and listen to any of their early speeches. It's not the same. They were not perfect early on, probably not perfect now. You look at any author, chances are that their first book was not as good as their 20th book. Why? Because they've learned their craft. It's different. So shun the perfect because it simply doesn't exist. So you've got to have that in kind of the anchor of your mind, knowing that that's the way it is. Secondly, you need to practice. So get out there and do your work. Pursue it. Day in and day out, you practice your voice. It doesn't matter if you're writing or if you're speaking or however you're transferring your voice, you need to do it on a daily basis, even if nobody else sees it. My good buddy Jeff Goins has a group called My 500 Words, and he started this in January, and I'm not much of a writer. I'd much rather talk any day than write. But I committed for the month of January to write 500 words a day, and I did it, and it almost killed me. But I became a better writer because it was the most I'd ever written consistently. One of my articles shortly after that that I published, Jeff actually made a comment on my blog and said, this is excellent. And he's a great writer. And for him to say that one of my articles was excellent, well, that's a huge compliment. So I was like, you know, I emailed him and said, Jeff, the only reason that article was any good was because of 500 words. Practice isn't fun because we want to be pros right out of the gate. We want to perform at the highest level right off the bat. And practice means that I'm simply trying to make sure that I go through this. We need to make sure that we're doing the work, that we are trying our best, that we are learning and we are applying. So that's the real key. So day in and day out, we're going to practice. I skipped my first, about 2.5 years of college. Back in that time, you didn't have to actually attend except for on test day. I think now they actually keep attendance. But way back when, as long as you were on test day, it was fine. Well, I skipped to play golf, and I played golf every day from like 8 a.m. to 5 in the afternoon. How good do you think I got? And I didn't start playing until I was about 19. I got super good, super quick. And now I was never going to be pro level. I didn't have that amount of time. But I went from shooting 130 to 90 in a couple of months. And then by the third month, I was in the 80s. And then about in the sixth month, I was in the 70s and low 70s by the end of the year. Why? Because I was out there every single day. You're not just going to sit down and say, I want my voice to connect. Oh, I found it. It comes through practice. Or as John Acuff says in the book Start, it comes through doing your reps. You know, I can go and stand in the gym, doesn't mean a thing. I've got to work out. I've got to exercise. My body's going to change. We've got to work out. We've got to exercise if our words are going to change or if our voice is going to change. We also need to be able to play. Play. This helps you develop. I've got an article at my site over at paulbevans.com. If you go over there and search for disposable website, you'll find that article. And this is what I do with those who are entering online business or a blog for the first time or something along those lines. And I say, get you an account. Go to paulbevans.com/Bluehost and set up a domain name that you'll never use in your lifetime. You don't care anything about it. Like I've got an example there of over 40 weight loss plan. I'm not doing anything with that. I set it up to play. Why? Because most of the time, if we're launching a blog, what do we want? We want it right the first time. Right out of the gate, we want it to look sharp. Right out of the gate, we want the best post possible. Right out of the gate, we want a bunch of readers. And then something goes wrong, a plugin miscommunicates, our post doesn't show up and look exactly like we thought it would, and we start to get panicked. What do I do wrong? And we get all this stuff up in our head, and this isn't what I thought it was going to be. When you could have just played and set up a dummy domain, dummy WordPress, practice all you want, play all you want. Nobody on the planet will ever see it. Or let's say I was setting up a new group in Facebook. I can set that group up. Just play. I don't have to invite anybody to that group. Nobody has to know that group exists. I can keep it a secret. And I can go over there and find out how groups work. Just while I'm playing, it's disposable. I can shut it off anytime that I want to. That's how you develop your voice, is by playing, by doing things that people will never see, so that we get those reps in, we get that practice in. And then guess what's going to happen while we're playing? We're going to do something we feel like's exceptional, and then we're going to bring that out to the public eye. But play first. It's okay to do things that are disposable. Everything does not count. And then publish. When you're ready, hey, get your voice out there. So this is my site. I've got 287 posts. I don't post super regular. 227 comments. I don't do a lot of comments on my blog. There's not a lot of interaction there. I tend to interact by email or on Facebook. I've got 79 pages on my blog, and I'm running the Get Noticed theme. So 287 posts. So I'm publishing. I'm getting the word out there. I put something on Facebook almost every day. I'm putting it out in public. I'm publishing. And that's going to allow you to let your work be seen so that you can do the next thing, which is performance. You want to start seeing what the engagement is like, what people relate to, what they're liking, what they are connecting with. So I had an article called Universal Stories, which is super helpful for public speakers. It got 0 shares. It got 5 tweets. Now my 5.5.5 advantages of being short, because that is my height, got 83 shares on Facebook. I've got a picture there with David Fry. I'm 5.5.5. He's 6'4". So that class clown thing is what got shared a lot. So what's it tell me? That people like to have fun. It also tells me that people recognize that I'm making fun of my height and I don't care about it. I'm not insecure about it. And so if I started writing articles that had to do with security and about finding the best and the worst of yourself, things along those lines would really connect, and I would probably get good shares off of that. Over to the right is my best friend, Carrie Wilkerson, the Barefoot Executive. She posted this not long ago. Let's see, I think it was April 3rd. Boundaries are crucial in your life. Boundaries do not make you a diva or a jerk. Boundaries make you wise when they make sense. And then the more, it was a pretty long little article here on how to set your boundaries as a business owner. Now, usually she did straight business writing. So this was a connective encouragement piece. And what happened? 104 shares, over 288 likes. That's pretty good, right? I feel like that's pretty positive. And she got to hear the impact of her voice. She got to see the impact of her voice based on this performance. So, you know, once you get rid of perfection and you practice and you play and you publish and you start recognizing this performance. You see what people are engaged with and you start rereading that or re-listening to that and you go, okay, people like that. That might need to be what I'm doing. Anita says, who knew I put you at 5'10"? That would be amazing with some platform shoes on, Anita. So think about that, that when you get good positive feedback, and if you don't have an audience at all, you're not going to get that feedback. But as you build it over time, you're going to find out what parts of your voice people are connecting with. What is the most helpful for them? And then finally, professional. I'm not really big on this word, but it kept me in the family of peas here. This is from Stephen Pressfield. Turning pro is a mindset. If we are struggling with fear, self-sabotage, procrastination, self-doubt, etc., the problem is we're thinking like amateurs. Amateurs don't show up. Amateurs crap out. Amateurs let adversity defeat them. The pros think differently. He shows up. He does the work. He keeps on trucking no matter what. So when I say professional, I'm not saying coat and tie professional. And I'm a professional in my field. You can be a class clown in your field and be professional, because being professional means that I'm going to show up. I'm doing the work. I keep going no matter what. Day in and day out, I'm about the business of sharing my voice. The amateur quits because they doubt their voice, or they're afraid, or they're skeptical, or they're insecure, or they don't feel like they're good enough. All of these things. And the pro, it's not that their work is that great. You become a pro when you show up, you do the work, you keep trucking no matter what. That's a totally different definition to me, because I think it's important for us to recognize that when we show up, realize that most people don't. Heck, the average workplace today, people show up at a building, but they don't actually show up and work. There are a handful of hard workers, and then there are a lot of people who try to skate through the day, get their check, and then complain. See, that's an amateur. But the professional shows up, does the work, keeps trucking no matter what. So that's how to develop your voice. So a lot of things that you can go through with those exercises. So go back through with your notes, and if you watch the replay, go back through and work through every one of those P's. And even rate yourself. You know, how much do you feel that you are a perfectionist? How much do you feel that you tend to focus on everything being perfect? How much do you actually practice, or do you try to release everything? How much do you play? Do you have a disposable website? Do you have disposable Word documents? Do you have things that it doesn't matter if they don't work because you were just playing? How often are you publishing? How regularly are you publishing? What about performance? Where are you receiving feedback from your voice, what you're putting out there in public, what you're publishing, and what's it telling you about how your audience is connecting with you? And then professional, day in and day out, you need to show up. All right, the final section is deploy. Deploy. I'm going to give you a lot of options here, and I want you to select the ones that you most connect with, but I'm also going to do a poll at the end to see what you're going to do first. All right, so post, you need to be using your blog or your website. I'm going to talk about social media in a different way in just a second, but you actually need to be putting your information out there, obviously. So at paulbevans.com is where I post things, post updates, post articles, post training, etc. So that's where I'm deploying at my website. If you got a website, make sure that you're doing that regular. Also, I post at Facebook, and I post at Twitter, and I post at LinkedIn. And so all of that are ways that I deploy my different messages. And it allows me to monitor, it allows me to check the performance, and to measure and see exactly how I'm relating. Social media. I'm not very good at this, honestly, guys. I do better on Facebook than anything, but the real key is social. So if somebody retweets you, thank them. If someone makes a comment on Facebook, follow up with the comment. If somebody messages you, get back with them. So this is our time to actually interact, because when somebody makes a comment, it means that they connected with our voice. If there are a lot of comments, it means that we've struck a chord. If there are a lot of shares, it means that it was valuable enough for somebody to send to somebody else and say, hey, you need to check this out too. So social media is a big way for us to deploy our message. Podcast, and this isn't for everybody. And it's no big deal. I'm not listing, this isn't a list of got to do's. You're going to have to choose your own. So podcast, mine is the Live Your Mission podcast that I started a couple of years ago. It doesn't have just a ton of episodes on it. I'm only doing about an episode a month. And with that, it really covers the gamut of what I hit at paulbevans.com, and that is achieve, engage, and build. So I cover those different topics on that. But more than anything, live your mission means that whatever you're engaged in right now, whatever you're trying to achieve right now, whatever you're building right now, that's your mission right now. It might change next month, and it might change next year. I didn't use purpose because people get so wrapped up in, if I can't find my purpose, how am I going to function? Hey, live your mission. Maybe your mission right now is to be a great parent. Maybe your mission is to get a promotion. Maybe your mission is to get your blog up for the first time. All of that is pretty essential to be able to pursue and get it out there. So podcast is great if you like to talk, and it's a great way to build a good listening audience. YouTube, here's my YouTube channel. I've got a handful of videos over there. Maybe I've got actually two channels. One has about 300 videos, and this one probably has 50 or 60 videos on it. I'm not sure. I don't see a number on this particular shot, but I've got a lot of different videos that are up that get me a handful of views, but those views can lead back to the site. But YouTube's a great way to share your voice. I've got some long videos. There's one that's 50 minutes for my paid webinar. And I've got some short videos. There's a minute 37 for a speaker's reel that I have on there. And it doesn't have to be necessarily long. Don't think you've got to do something that's just crazy. I think most people like about 2 minutes in length. But don't think either that they won't watch something long. I've got several hour webinars that people have come across. They weren't from my site. They were just on YouTube. And they watched the complete hour. But YouTube's another great way to deploy your voice. Webinars and teleseminars, like we're doing right now with Launch Your Voice. You can use GoToWebinar. You can use Adobe. You can Adobe Connect. You can use Google Hangouts. I don't use that. I use GoToWebinar like we're using right now and Adobe Connect. And so if you ask any questions, and we'll take questions here in just a few minutes. If you ask any questions, I'm not going to be able to help you out with Google Hangouts. I don't use those at all. Teleseminars, I use Instant Teleseminar, and I love that as well. But webinars are by far my favorite medium, so I like those a lot. So that's another way to deploy your message. I like doing things like this and then just putting them up as evergreen webinars, and people want training, want to go back through it. Works out really, really well. So webinars, teleseminars, and then get published. Now, this is a little bit different than when I mentioned published earlier. You can deploy your voice by guest posting. Contact different blogs in your industry, in your market. Find out if they've got some guest posting guidelines, or just contact the blog owner and ask. Magazines. Almost everybody's ignoring this. I've been in several magazines, and it's not super difficult to do, especially today if you've got any sort of followership on Twitter or Facebook or your own website. You know, they take that as some great validation. And so now you're actually in print, and that's going to separate you from everybody else out there that says, hey, I'm on eZine articles. But you might say, well, I'm in Entrepreneur Magazine. Summits, whether it's telesummits or web summits, it's a great place for you to deploy your message. If people call and invite you and say, hey, will you be part of this telesummit? You know, those are good to do. And even if you're not invited, it's okay to invite yourself. You might see a telesummit that's out here and that's just getting started. And it may be somebody brand new. There's nothing wrong with emailing them saying, hey, if you get a slot that's opening up, here's what my expertise is, or here's what I train on. I'd love to be a guest. So that could be a great option for you. Events. This can be a live event. It can be a great opportunity for you to do a breakout session or even to be on the main stage. But a lot of events that are free conferences or our low price conferences have a lot of breakout sessions and they are looking for speakers. And it's not hard at all to get on some of those. So you've got to think about that. You got to think, all right, here's what I want to do. Here's what I can present on. Here's how I can do this breakout session. A commercial book, and this sets you apart from everybody. Yep, anybody can get on Kindle. Anybody can self-publish. So there's no barrier, right? But if you've got a book that's been published by a major book publisher, you are in the top 1%. And you need to tell people about that. So if you've not been commercially published and you're thinking about it, then go out and research that and say, this is one of my goals, is that I want to deploy my message through a commercial book. And then certainly Kindle. I'm doing some training right now, a year-long training where I host a webinar every single month. Well, I'm getting those transcribed, getting those edited by somebody who knows grammar, and not me, and then that's all going to be compiled into a Kindle book. So get published is another great way to deploy. Products are a great way to deploy. So some of these are free giveaway images and some of these are products. So Five Stones is a product that covers five elements of result-based goal setting. Most people tell you, set your goal and create a plan and go toward the finish line and that's it. But that's only two of the five components that really allow you to reach a goal. I'm passionate about that. I think most goal setting is totally wrong. So I think that that's super interesting. So when you think about that and that becomes your cause, you can create a product around it. And that's a great way to deploy your voice because now you're charging people money to actually listen to your voice, which is valid. That's what every book is. It's super valid. And so that can be one of your options as well. So what I want you to do with those areas that we just covered is to choose your primary deployment and choose your secondary, two secondaries. So maybe your primary is that you're going to launch your blog and that's going to be the first thing you do. Your secondary, one might be maximizing, leveraging Facebook. And the other may be that you want to do a guest post. You don't have to say, I'm going to do 100 guest posts in the next 90 days. Just set it as one. Do one. So let me do another quick poll. Let's see here. See if I can get one to show up. So what deployment element are you going to do? What's going to be your primary? Are you going to do a post? Are you going to do social media? Are you going to do YouTube? Are you going to get published in one of those formats like guest post, something like that? Are you going to do a webinar or teleseminar? How are you going to deploy your message? Your primary way, let's say over the next month, is going to be your primary. This is what you're going to focus on. All right, close poll. Let me share the results for you guys. So 38% of you are going to post, 19% social media, 19% YouTube, 14% are going to get published, and 10% are going to focus on a webinar. Love that. All right, hide results. You should be able to see my screen again. All right. Oh, BJ had a quote in here. A man who dares to waste 1 hour of life has not discovered the value of life. All right, so I'm going to move into some Q&A. Before I do that, I'm going to do something a little bit different. You know, most of the time on a free webinar, there's like an offer at the end. And I am going to offer coaching, but I'm not going to sell you on it. The only thing I'm going to tell you is this, that if you want to do 10-day coaching with me, go through Discover, Develop It, and Deploy. So let's say that you don't know how to do a podcast and you want to learn, I'll teach you how to do it. And we'll also cover finding your market if you don't have one. We'll cover how to create your message if you don't have a message. We'll create your model, how you're going to distribute everything. We'll create your list. So you want to enlist people, get them to sign up for your email list. We're going to teach you how to engage your audience, the best routes for you to engage them, and to create your own economy. If you're interested in actually making money online, you can create your own economy with that. And what you'll need to do if you're interested in this is go to paulbevans.com/LYV, and you're going to opt in for a list that says, I'm interested in learning more about this coaching. There's not a sales page. I'm not about to bust your chops with this big, long, drawn-out pitch. What I came to do today was to give you content. I think we've done that. And if you're interested in taking this farther and you want some personal connection, you want some personal accountability, if you want to ask questions and figure things out more, we can do that. But I'm going to actually take your questions right now.